B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Make sure you look at John Middleton with the Phils. If they're going to go over that luxury tax, that shows the fan base, hey, I'm stopping at nothing. Luxury tax is but a number to me. It just means I got to pay more money to make sure that we win. Now might be that time to do that, considering you know you can still get a good bargain, at least in the not-too-distant future, with guys like Alec Bohm and guys like Spencer Howard. Let's not forget, and I made this point yesterday, that Aaron Nola, for as good as he's been, he's a $12 million a year pitcher. Like, that's not a lot of money,
no.
Even a little bit.
No, they got still a bargain.
They got a bargain on him, and they got a bargain on a guy like Scott Kingery, whatever position he ends up playing. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio. Only from Comcast, 9 o'clock hour, brought to you by The Baxter. Dumpster in a bag, get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. Swing it back to the 76ers here as they take on the Wizards tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. He joins us as he does every Thursday from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Former Temple Owl, former 76er, Mark Jackson joins us. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Feeling great. How was the Thanksgiving with the fish and all that fun stuff?
Oh, it was a little too good. Put on a little too much. Now I'm trying to work it off.
That guy. Hey, we were talking to your former teammate, your fellow Temple Owl, Aaron McKee, at 8 o'clock today. And we were talking to him about Ben Simmons because Ben had another great game against the Jazz. He was making some things happen for himself. Everything looked good there. But when you watch him as a all-around basketball player, he fills out that stat sheet so well. When it comes to that jump shot, you see him start to work it in just a little bit in the paint, which is great to see. The thing I want to see him stop doing is that fadeaway. And we've talked about that a lot. He almost starts out that game of being afraid to go to that line. Are you still seeing that within his game?
Not as much as previous years. Not as much. I do see him not being as hesitant like the last couple of games. He's been shooting some free throws down the end. And I think that's important, fellas, because you don't want to get to the point where teams, well, you could be a 70% free throw shooter, but if it looked like you're timid to shooting them, teams will hack a shack you. So it's very important that you show teams you're confident at, so they don't even think about that. Now, with that being said, his fadeaway in the post moves, I don't consider it a horrible shot because I know MJ, the last 7-8 years of his career, speaking of Michael Jordan, perfected that move. And it was an unstoppable move. So I'm not against the fadeaway. I will say this, though. It's a difference from me getting the ball in the post and shooting a little fadeaway shot than actually shooting a jump shot. It's a big difference.
Speaking with Mark Jackson, NBC Sports Philadelphia Sixers pre- and post-game analyst. Looking at the rest of this team, load management with Joel Embiid looks like it's going to start to be a thing of the past, and he looks like he's starting to fight through a lot of that right now. What have you been seeing from Joel Embiid? I know he had a tough matchup the other day against the Jazz, but what do you see from him as far as that conditioning goes?
To me, I just see his rhythm, his legs. You know, that time off the court, not being, because, you know, nowadays you're not practicing as much in the NBA, so you can sit out when you're sitting out games. You literally are sitting out of basketball because you're not practicing. Yeah, you might get 100, 150 shots up, but that's not a game. That's not a rhythm. It's a big difference. So, you know, with him playing, I think it makes him better for the team. I think it helps the team gel. Now, I'm gonna say this, and I hope Trey don't get on me about this, but I'm okay with him playing a lot now, and then comes 40, 50 games in the season, 60 games. All right, let's load manage them now. Now let's sit out this game. Let's maybe sit out this back to back because now the rhythm, the chemistry of the team has been gelled. You can't start off the year that way because you never form a gel. You never get a chemistry. So I'm okay with him doing that maybe 50, 60 games in when you're trying to make a rare push for the playoffs.
Yeah, they did that last year, Mark, and he played a lot early in the year, and he played his best basketball. They look back on it and say, yeah, but he wasn't ready for the playoffs. But when he's going, and I was calling for this earlier in the year, I think he's better when he's pushing himself when he's tired as opposed to trying to push himself when he's rested to get to that higher level.
That's true. And, like, once again, it all goes back to the rhythm of the game that you're playing in the game. It's your timing. That's you timing with your teammates. Remember, this is 5-on-5, guys. So it's not just you on there. This is not golf for you out there by yourself. This is 5-on-5. So everybody knows where you want to be, where you like things, Would you like to be on defense? How can I force a guy? It's all one. You know, so when a guy is in the game, it helps with the team, not just himself, but also the rhythm. It helps him keep his rhythm. So that's why I'm big on play him now, first 50, 60 games, to even start the load management. But you got to form chemistry with this much talent on a team.
We're, as a city, it seems like, Mark, falling head over heels in love with Matisse Thybulle. Is there any reason you'll see minutes maybe even cut from him in the not-too-distant future if Josh Richardson comes back healthy in the next couple of games? Because I think this guy is just earning more and more minutes.
Listen, guys, y'all know I've been on Matisse Thybulle since this scrimmage in the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. I said he was the real deal, to the point that now we're on the show, Amy's kind of pushing my button to get me sleep or more because he's trying to get me to go on a really good tirade about it. This guy has showed he's legit defensive player in his league. Now, Coach Brett Brown had let it be known in a press conference a few weeks ago, well, yeah, sometimes his shots weren't good. He was trying to do too much. Okay, so that explains it. So just tell the kid that and tell him to stop doing it and play the kid 20 minutes, period. You know what I mean? You can't. You know, my thing is this, and I'll never forget, when I played for New Jersey Nets for a little bit with Lawrence Frank would play me 30 minutes some games. He didn't even play me 10 minutes, play me 30 minutes. And I like, so, you know, I said, I request the trade. I said, you know, he obviously don't see me in the future. Something's going on. So I request the trade, right? So then when the day we got the trade, we on the road and I went to a meeting with him. I said, oh, Coach, you know, thank you very much. Have a nice day. You know, the old generic blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, let me ask you a question, Coach. Why was the minutes fluctuating? We were winning. You would play me 30 minutes. You would play me 8 to 10 minutes one game. Why were the minutes fluctuating? He said, Marcus, I feel as though you shot too much. I feel as though you took shots away from Vince Carter, Richard Jefferson, Jace Kidd. I'm like, so why didn't you just tell me that? And sometimes coaches don't know. It's just a matter of having a conversation with someone. Saying, hey, Matisse, you're playing outstanding defensively. Hey, you know what? Would it be nice? Hey, you shoot. I don't like these shots you're shooting. He's young. You can mold him. And I'm not saying he hasn't had some conversations, but I bet if that's been echoed in his mind, that young kid would do whatever is possible to not just get on the floor, but help this team win. That kid, to me, I would like to see him get 20 minutes a game consistently, not fluctuate.
Mark, the high pick and roll that they run with Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid, to me it seems like it's working a little bit better lately. Tobias is getting some pretty open shots, and Embiid seems to be doing a little bit better rolling to the basket. Are you seeing anything different than what they're doing there?
See, let me tell you now. And then I open a can of worms. So my son, I was playing my son in 2K20. So right. So for that being said, he was playing with the Clippers. I was playing with the Sixers. Of course, you know I'm a living die Sixers guy. My son's a bandwagon guy. And you know I'm planning on disowning him when he turns 13. That's another story. But so you know, so I'm playing with the Sixers, right? And he has a big lead. But you know, because of my Sixers defense of 2K, we catch up. We're down three points. With 6 seconds left, I go right to Tobias, Joel Embiid, pick and pop. Because I know they're going to have to go down, run Tobias, come off. My son not thinking properly. He doubles Tobias. I kick it back to Joel at the top. He'd be wide open. Game goes into overtime. So I'm saying that to say, just you brought up a very good point. That pick and roll, pick and pop combination, Tobias and Joel, is working so good because you got to pick your poison. Tobias has now found his rhythm. He's being aggressive consistently, so you got to come to him. You got to rotate to him. And who are you going to help off? Who's the worst three-point shooter on that team? Not the worst, but who would you think is going to miss? You would say it's Joel Embiid. So teams are helping off Joel, and he's wide open. He's doing a good job rolling, and every now and then he will pop. And I think that's a great thing that Joel is mixing up. A mixture of popping and rolling and not just popping all the time.
Speaking with Mark Jackson, Mark, I hate to even say you look past one game, but I'm looking past two games. And I'm looking past the Wizards, and I'm looking past the Cavs. I just want Toronto again. I feel like that game needs to be a do-over for the Sixers. They have them at home on Sunday night, 6 o'clock. I'll actually be at that game. I know it's important. You can never look. The athletes can never do it. Fans can do it. But how much is that going to be a test for this team?
It's going to be a real good test because when they went in Toronto ran a ball on them. They got in the lane too easy. And then when the Sixers made adjustment by stopping the penetration, Toronto started hitting those threes. That's a great test. When you built a juggernaut team like the Sixers did this offseason, you want to play against the best to always test the waters. See how good you really are. You know, you can practice. And think, oh, we're this, but you never get a chance to see how what you need to work on until you play against the best. And Toronto right now is playing excellent basketball. Bring on Toronto. But the don't look past the Washington Wizards. They're number one in the league in offense. They're last in the league in defense. So if you go into Washington and you get in a shootout, they're at home. Higher chances that they're going to shoot the ball better than you in their gym.
Oh, I like the way that sounds right now. They're last in defense. I like that. So we're seeing a big game out of the big fella, huh?
Yeah, I'm telling you, I have no one that can contend with him down there. And it's going to be a good matchup to see Bradley Beal go against Ben. I'm quite sure Ben will be on Bradley a lot. Mm-hmm. To see those two, go ahead and see if Ben can do a good job stopping him. Because Bradley Beal is doing a lot more one-on-one things than he's done in the past. So I'm looking forward to that challenge.
All I need is Embiid, the big fella, to score 27 points. That's all.
Trey, you on the same. Why 27, Trey?
It's all because it's points for 26 and a half. So I need 27. Just need 27.
All right, Mark, last thing. Last thing for you. Apparently this is my fault, but okay, how do we work out this jersey situation for Trey?
Hey, listen, when you going to be in, Mark?
I'm going to be in later today.
I'm a drive. It's in the hood of my car. You thought I was joking when I said that. It's in the front of my car with a Sharpie right next to it. Whoa. So I don't forget it. I'm going to give it to you tonight.
The front of your car, what are you driving, a Tesla?
Yeah, of course. I'm a Tesla.
Keeping it green. All right, Mark, nice. I'll see you at NBC later today. We'll get the arrangement. And then what do I got to do? Just have Trey sign it?
Yeah, just sign it.
Just have Trey sign it to Ida. Then my mother. It's
lovely. All right, we're going to work this out. Because now I'm getting blamed for this, Mark. Mark Jackson, always great talking to you, brother.
Yes, sir, fellas. Have a good one.
You as well. Mark Jackson, Sixers pre- and post-game analyst for NBC Sports Philadelphia. I didn't know that was my fault. It dawned on me earlier today. Well, you guys told
me. You're the middleman.
You told me it was my fault.
Yeah,
I didn't even know what the situation was. I knew there was some jersey that had to be signed. I just didn't know which way it was supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's from Mark Jackson.
You have to help your friends out here. You have to unite Temple and Florida State.
Yeah. Make it work. That'll be make me a uniter, not a divider. But I got Mark Jackson, who's supposed to give me the jersey of Trey for Trey to sign.
Mm-hmm.
Trey
to
gives
Ida.
To Ida.
Right.
Mrs. IDA. Jackson. Then you give to me to give back to Mark, who gives it back to his mom.
There we go.
I wish I would have understood this flow chart earlier.
Do you need it written down?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a visual person.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Who is not a visual person, Philadelphia Phillies fans right now. The Phillies themselves. Because I think they get it. And I want to get a Twitter poll update in a couple of seconds here. Because as it has been for the vast majority of the morning, the vast majority of the people voting on our poll have sided with me about it not being an exciting deal to bring in Zach Wheeler. They're happy that Zach Wheeler's here because it is a step in the right direction for this rotation. It's a big step. I'll admit, a big step in the right direction. But what takes away from it, really, yeah, you might look at Cole Hamels and say, yeah, I wanted him here, but it was a lot of money, whatever. Some people, I think, are mad on that. But really what I think tempers a lot of people's enthusiasm about this deal is the fact that there is so much work that has to be done. We might be staring up at the biggest discrepancy of a somewhat challenging team to two teams that contend for the playoffs and will be contending for the playoffs and probably the World Series maybe over the next 5 to 10 years with the way the Nationals are built, with the way, well, the Nationals pitching staff still has question marks after that, but their lineup is good. The Braves are young. They're depending on young players. The rotation is solid. Like, it's a wild thing to be staring up at looking. And I made the analogy earlier in the show that Zach Wheeler with the Phillies right now feels like you're on a boat and the boat is sinking and the Phillies are just handing you a bucket instead of plugging up the holes, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like right now. There's a lot of work to be done. Everybody, I feel, is happy that Zach Wheeler's here. It's a good investment. It's a big step in the right direction, but it's like you still got to wait. And there's time here. I'm not saying this has to be done today, but it's a step in the right direction. People, I don't think, will be excited about the Phillies until they make two or three more big acquisitions. Sam, what are the people saying right now on our Twitter poll?
When it comes to Zach Wheeler, how do you feel? Excited, happy, or meh? We have just under 2,300 votes. 45% say happy.
45, so still the majority.
Yes.
They're like me. They're happy about the deal.
Yes, and then in second place, meh at 29% and excited at 26%.
She really sells the meh well, doesn't she?
Yeah.
It really does.
I'm an actress. I don't know.
Well, we know from your Wrecking Ball quote earlier. But when you look at a guy like Zach Wheeler, friends, you're talking about Tommy John surgery in 2015. His comeback was a little delayed in 2016, as you would expect. Then made $800,000 in arbitration 2 years ago. Now the guy's a $118 million man.
Yeah, nice little raise.
There you go. Sub-4 ERAs each of the last two seasons, thanks in large part to how he's finished the year, not how he started the year. The Phillies right now, with Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler, have a very good 1-2 punch, as we know. Possibly great 1-2 punch. If Aaron Nola does what I expect him to do, which is get back to more of what he did 2 years ago in 2017, as opposed to what he did this past season, or 2018, excuse me, as opposed to what he did this past season, then I think we're going to be sitting in good shape. We're going to be in good shape here. But when you look at what Zach Wheeler has done, if he moves what he's done in the second half of the season, where you look at that sub-2 ERA up a little bit earlier in the year, and maybe he does that with JT Realmuto as his catcher, then you're looking at a team that can make some noise. The other thing you have to depend on is the injury bug can't bite you the way it has. And you think about two moves over the last 365 days here in Philadelphia that have been so much more crippling than you would have expected. It has to do with two guys over the age of 30 that you put a lot of ask on.
DeSean.
And Andrew McCutchen. Those two moves... Losing a leadoff hitter,
yeah,
and then losing your who would have been your number one wide receiver, has crippled both franchises that made those acquisitions.
Yeah.
That's why when I look at a guy like Zach Wheeler, I look at a guy like D.D.
Gregorius. But he's 29.
He'll be 30 by the time the season starts. He'll be 30 when it matters.
Yeah, but his arm had 2 years off. He's only had 77 starts over 5 years.
Uh-huh. That is cause for optimism. That's why I'm happy.
There you go.
All right, you see me being a double downer? No, I'm happy.
And he's an absolute flamethrower.
And how attractive is his lady friend?
Very.
See? So that shows confidence.
Hey, we have to love and support her because she's the reason why Zach Wheeler's here.
That's right.
Because she didn't want to go to Chicago, who offered more money.
Mm-hmm. No, she likes Philly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But do you think having a new manager in here, someone that's a little bit more seasoned, can help even when it comes to that injury?
Absolutely.
So there you go.
Yeah. They got married on New Year's Eve. It's his wife.
Oh, wife. Lovely.
Oh, they get married on New Year's Eve.
Oh, okay.
It's his fiance.
Excuse me.
But Girardi should be able to, as a former catcher and somebody that understands the mind and physicality of pitchers probably extremely well, Girardi should be a huge asset to somebody like Zach Wheeler. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
He caught Andy Pettitte in the early portions of his career. I think he managed Mike Mussina for 1 year. This guy knows how to handle a rotation. He knows how to handle a pitching staff, if not as a manager, then as a catcher. And one has definitely led to the other. This is a position for anybody that's coming in here with an arm, that's a starting pitcher, bullpen, whatever it might be. You're coming into a great scenario right now in Philadelphia because of who the manager is. And to your question, Trey, no doubt in my mind that a player will look at Joe Girardi, a World Series winning manager, as we know, a guy who's a manager of the year, and we know that, as a guy that they want to play for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he understands play. Like we always ask of our managers to understand the mindset of a player. And he does that maybe better than anybody. Because what we want out of a player is to get that hustle, to get that college try. But he also understands on that ground ball hit to second, he's not expecting the runner to go last out of the World Series down the line.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows when to give the guy the kick in the ass.
Exactly.
He's not going to do it every single time, but when he sees it being a problem, like a Cesar Hernandez, he knows when that kick in the ass needs to happen. Gene Segura. He knows when that kick in the ass needs to happen. It's a matter of a guy, as Brett Brown put it in the past, firing bullets. You can't just come yelling and screaming all the time. And I know we might love to watch that as a fan base. That wears on your players way too quick.
Oh, God, yeah.
So that's where I think he's got the knowledge to not just deal with the pitching staff and the X's and O's and all that stuff, but he also has the knowledge of how to manage those personalities. And that's what I look forward to seeing this coming season. Aside from the more acquisitions that the Phillies will make, Zach Wheeler and whoever else is, if it is D.D. Gregorius, whoever it might be, Josh Donaldson, whoever it might be, you're looking at a guy that knows how to at least put those personalities together.
All right, those two names that you just mentioned, if they get one of those two guys, does that excite you enough to say they can get ahead of Atlanta and or Washington? No.
One of those two other guys?
Yeah.
No, and the reason is because what you have right now, you still have a lot of questions. The guy that's going to be your...
You have holes a lot of places.
The guys that are going to be your starter, like Rhys Hoskins, for instance. Who the heck is Rhys Hoskins?
Right.
But what is he?
I don't know.
Is he a power-hitting four-hole hitter, or is he a two-hole hitter that gets on base?
Don't know.
What is he? Where's Scott Kingery playing?
So my point being... Do you have to get that Gerrit Cole or Strasburg for you to say, ah, now they have a shot to be ahead of Washington and or Atlanta?
Not necessarily.
Legitimately.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you could say that if they get them, but I think you can also make cases that without them, you can get there.
Yes. Like with what?
A lot of plugging of holes. Like a DD. Like, say you got DD and Donaldson. Like, just say. I mean, that's not going to happen. Right. You're going to spend that much on the left side of an infield. And Segura moves over to second, and Kingery becomes your, you know, supplemental guy to whoever starts 3 days a week. He's your bench bat, and Jay Bruce is a bench bat. Now, all of a sudden, I mean, that lineup should be good enough to win.
To win the division?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I think you become a lot more competitive, but you still have... See, Rhys Hoskins is such an X factor here.
Oh, totally.
Because you're depending on him so much. What I would actually feel better about is the younger guys coming up and showing promise.
I hear you.
Than a 33-year-old Josh Donaldson.
I would, too.
And a 30-year-old Didi
Gregorius. But you're right. Rhys is the key to all of this.
Yeah, because he's going to be the guy with pop. The one thing I do like about Didi Gregorius is the fact that he does hit for power.
Yeah.
But he
this
also...
This team needs some pop.
Yeah, but he also did that at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, so he'll do it in Citizens Bank Park.
Okay.
No problem.
Yes, I still don't feel the same way.
My only point is you can get there without a Cole or Strasburg, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah,
it's going to be hard. It's
possible.
Not easy.
I'm not saying it's not impossible.
And my only point, not point was, my only question is, God, are they way further away than I thought? Like, it's really scaring me now because we're throwing all these names. They get Wheeler. You're talking about Gregorius. We're going all there. But, like, I'm still saying, yeah, but it's still not as good as the Braves or Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you sure of getting
good?
But that's where you are now. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, what does it all mean? I mean, you can go at it. Might take getting a Gerrit Cole and more, significant more, to be able to say, oh yeah, now they're in the position. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they can get to that position.
Right, but just, as the look, I hate to use this because I hate this cliche myself, but like that's why they play the game because
you don't know what's going to happen
to another team throughout the course of the year. Like, look at right now. I mean, like. This year, with Kevin Durant being out for Brooklyn, it's a totally different story in the Eastern Conference because, to switch to basketball just for a second, you look at him being out, oh, great opportunity for the Sixers now that they don't have that KD team staring him down. Like, you don't know what's going to happen through the course of a season, what break that you might get. Not that you have a root for injury or anything like that, but you don't know what's going to happen with the Braves. You don't know who's going to have a slumping year. You don't know who's going to have a year similar to Rhys Hoskins that has that down year.
Yeah.
Now, they seem to do a pretty decent job of scouting talent, so that rarely happens. But in all seriousness, you don't know how the season's going to play out.
Yeah.
Like, look, one move for the Phillies, as I mentioned earlier, Andrew McCutchen was the Jenga piece that made the tower fall. That's amazing to me.
Strange. Exactly. Yeah, and then just because they got Wheeler, and just because we're throwing these names out there, that's when my wheels start to spin. I love bouncing it off you guys, and I'm thinking, like, wow, are they really further away than we thought? Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's going to take another couple big moves for me to feel...
This sounds like my conversation with Anthony yesterday. Like, you're kind of... Like, to him, it's like, if we don't get Gerrit Cole or Strasburg, you're not competing with anyone.
And I don't think they are.
I don't think they're competing with Atlanta or Washington.
Does anyone here think they're getting Strasburg?
I give it like a 2% chance.
I'll take it as a no.
It's a no.
Do you think they're getting Gerrit Cole?
No.
Neither do I. So that's where you have to rely on your younger guys coming up and really having an impact this year. Obviously, Zach Wheeler has to do, like I've said a million times already, a little of the second half of the season and the first half of the season.
If he emerges as a lot of scouts think he will, and the fact that the Astros wanted him so bad over the past 2 years gives me hope, you know, and his spin rate and his lack of barrels hit, and there's all these analytical stats that say he's a guy that's about to take that. If he takes that step towards a true number one, who the hell knows?
All right, if he's, let's just say this. He has a little bit more of the second half in the first half, right?
Yeah.
Let's say he's a 3-2 ERA guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in a pretty good spot.
That's a pretty nasty 1-2.
Yes, it is. And then you also, yeah, exactly. It's a pretty nasty 1-2.
That's what the Phillies bet on with the signing, and is that he takes that step.
And then Spencer Howard comes in, and he looks good.
He's the 100%. Matt Gelb was right. He's 100% going to be part of the rotation this year. They just have to conserve the innings, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, your boy Vince Velasquez.
Hey, he could be good as a long relief guy in the bullpen.
I think that failed.
He's going to be here.
He's going to be here.
I don't want to see him in the rotation.
Zach Eflin?
I'd rather see Eflin in the rotation, yeah, and hope that...
Who ended up wearing the tight pants after Jake Arrieta? It was Vince Velasquez.
Yeah, Velasquez is a little. He's got a hipster gene in him.
They shrunk in the wash. There was a little issue there for the Phillies.
<It's> Carden.
Costanza!
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll let you hear from Jason Kelce yesterday, including a little prank that was pulled on him. If you haven't seen this, we'll tell you about it in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I'm going to tell you real quick about a great giveaway we have. But first and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, if you're looking for some fine holiday gifts for the sports fan in your life, the Fanatic Pro Shop is open. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports-themed merchandise and apparel at discount prices. Open for shopping right now at 975thefanatic.com, the Fanatic Pro Shop. So make sure you check that out. But tomorrow, remember those little Rothman tickets we were talking about?
Oh, yeah.
We gave a couple pairs away over the last couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
We got another pair of tickets tomorrow with the Rothman Sixers tickets, where you sit court level. I'll be going to this game. I think Trey and Jamie are like an arm wrestle to see who goes also, because like one of you's guys...
Well, if it's a literal arm wrestle, I'm shot.
Okay. You guys are going to have a pizza carrying contest, and then whoever doesn't drop
I'm
pizza.
Also going to lose.
Oh, what do you know? But one of you's guys will go. I haven't had a chance to go yet this year, so I'll be going on Sunday at the 6 o'clock game against the Raptors. Big game against the Raptors. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to that game, court level, courtesy of the great people of Rothman Orthopedics. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you know, it includes food, includes some drinks, and we're going to have ourselves a good time. We're going to do this in a little bit of a different way, and I'm going to announce how we're doing this right now. We're going to send one of our street teamers out into the city of Philadelphia at some random location, and you have to find that street teamer, and he will have with him a box of Christmas balls, ornaments, all right? And if you reach in and you grab the right ball and open it up, and it says you've won the Rothman Sixers tickets, you'll find yourself at Sixers Raptors Sunday, 6 o'clock in South Philadelphia.
Well, Mark, how would I find this person around Philadelphia?
Oh, Robert Cooney. Perfect question at the perfect time.
Okay.
We'll be releasing clues on social media, our social media platforms. We'll also be releasing clues right here on the air as well. We promise it'll be a spot that you could just swing by, get out of the car, reach for the ball, open it up. Nope, no, better luck next time. Or, oh my God, you're going to the game. We're going to be giving away those clues as to where our street teamer will be tomorrow on the air when we give away the Rothman Sixers tickets.
So let me get this straight.
Go ahead.
I listen tomorrow.
Yes.
I get clues.
Clues.
I figure out clues. I drive to a spot. I grab a ball off a guy.
I'm sorry?
Yes. I grab a ball off of said person.
There'll be a plethora of balls, yes.
I open the ball, and there could be a pair of tickets inside.
That's Trey?
76ers court, on the court, second row behind the basket.
Is that easy to understand?
Yeah, it sounds like it's pretty easy.
Oh, that's cool.
Find our guy, grab some balls. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. We know what we're doing here, and you'll win yourself some Sixers tickets. That's amazing, is it not? 610-632-0975. Also, we're going to have some great tickets to give away for Temple a little bit later here. We'll do it via the prize line, but I do want to get into this. This was wild. If you had any doubt that Jason Kelce was one of the most loved people in Philadelphia, one of the nicest people you could encounter, did you see this video yesterday? We talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, but Adam Lefko of Bleacher Report, I believe it is a great podcast. He was helping out Jason Kelce's brother, Travis, in Cleveland with a little charity fashion show they had going on. At this charity fashion show, they were going to auction off different items. So Jason Kelce shows up at his brother's event, and Adam Lefko and Travis Kelce decide they're going to throw a prank. They're going to pull a prank on Jason. So they have him sign a couple of different auction items. And the last one, Adam Lefko goes up to him and says, "Hey, I just want you to sign this jersey. It's a white Kansas City Chiefs Travis Kelce jersey, autographed by Michael Jordan, autographed by Justin Timberlake, autographed by, I think, Kobe Bryant and Jerry Rice and all these great autographs. So they asked Jason to sign it. They say, yeah, it's over there. Just go sit down and sign it. We'll be right back. So typical prank show way about it, the style. They leave the room. Jason Kelce walks over to the table, sits down, and he starts signing his name on this jersey with all these famous signatures on it. Meanwhile, an actress playing the role of a waitress comes over with a tray full of wine glasses and then leans over Jason and goes, oh, wow, what a cool jerk. And then spills the wine all over the place, including on the jersey. Jason jumps up, runs out of the shot like he's embarrassed. He didn't do anything, and he's embarrassed. Now, here's what's amazing. The waitress, when Adam Lefkoe walks back into the room, the waitress says, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. He nudged me, and it made me drop the tray of wine all over the jersey. She blames it on Jason, even though he had nothing to do with it. This is where the niceness of Jason Kelce comes in. He took full responsibility.
That's right.
Oh. He fell on the sword for some young lady he didn't even know. And he even said later that he was going to just buy the jersey. He was going to donate like $3,000, whatever it would be, to make sure he got that jersey and they got the donation for his brother's charity. And then they come running in with the prank, like, oh, we got you. You look like an idiot, that type of thing. Whatever. But the bottom line is that he looked like a really nice guy out of the whole thing.
And why did he act like that, Trey?
Because it's the life of a lineman, man. Have each other's back.
Even a waitress he didn't even know?
Always covering.
He came out looking great.
It's the life of a protector. See that?
Protecting
this young lady. And was willing to go ahead and you know what? $3,000-$5,000. All right, cool. I got it. Because it was on me.
Yeah.
You know.
But even though it wasn't.
It
wasn't on him at all.
It wasn't on him at all.
He just protected some lady.
Yeah, just protecting. Just being what he is. A protector.
Jason Kelce was at his locker yesterday, and I promised we'd get back into that locker room. Here he is when he's asked about whether or not this loss to the Dolphins will be the wake-up call that the Eagles need for the rest of the season. Take a listen.
I think, I like to say that we've been awake. I think that, everybody knows the situation. Obviously, didn't get it done last week, which is very disappointing. But I think that, obviously, the emphasis on, winning now and winning each and every game from here on out, the time is of the essence. We got to do this now.
My takeaway from those comments were that, you better be awoke from this point on. If you weren't awakened by anything with the Dolphins, then I think this team has deeper issues than even we assume. But, Trey, you had a different takeaway.
I forgot what my takeaway was. It was so long
ago. He sounded like somebody.
Oh, yeah, he sounded like Big Red.
Yeah. He did, at the beginning especially. Yeah, he did.
There are notes of Andy Reid in there.
Yeah.
It never dawned on me until you said it.
Yeah, it was just the clip that Jamie plays a lot with Big Red.
Where he's just kind of stumbling around looking for the words.
See that? Now play Kelce. Yeah, we get Kelce in there.
I think, everybody knows the situation.
Do they still talk?
Probably.
Because it sounds like, you would assume.
Yeah, every now and then. Probably see each other.
But in all seriousness, all kidding aside, if you're not woken up by a loss to the Dolphins, then that just shows that you either have the nail in the coffin already, or you are about to go on a run. I tend not to believe the run.
And what the hell were you sleeping on? I know they were good teams, but you just lost two in a row anyway.
Especially when
you need to be awakened?
Especially when Jason Kelce is the one coming out after the Patriots game saying, I can't talk about anybody else, only myself, I need to be better. And I was like, okay, well, that's the right attitude to have.
Mm-hmm.
At least when it comes to talking to the media.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're a good team right now.
Well, I mean, conventional wisdom goes with you on that one.
I know it sounds like that, but we're talking about getting on track and getting righted. And really? On track to what? Righted to what? Righted means that you were right at one point. Yeah. This team hasn't been right this year.
It feels like we've been saying the same thing after almost every game. Like, yeah, either a get-right game or build momentum, and the only momentum they can really build is a two-game stretch of wins. That's it. Yeah. That's back-to-back wins. It's not even a winning streak, technically. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. All right, we do have a pair of Temple tickets that we want to give away here, and we're going to do this a little bit different. We're going to do this on our prize line, ladies and gentlemen. It's for a pair of Temple men's basketball tickets as they take on Missouri on Saturday, December 7th at 7:30 at the Lea Corps Center. For tickets, go to owlsticks.com or be the eighth caller. Why the eighth caller? Because we had Aaron McKee on earlier today. We're giving away Temple tickets to see his Temple basketball team take on Missouri. Be the eighth caller to 215-263-0975. That's 215-263-0975 to win yourself some Temple tickets. We'll talk a little bit more about that Zach Wheeler addition to the Phillies pitching rotation coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Once again, we have those Rothman Sixers tickets to give away tomorrow. Very unique way. You're going to have to find our man in the city of brotherly love. And then you're going to have to pull his Christmas ornament, open it up, and say whether or not you won the tickets. We're going to have call-ins. We're going to have updates. We're going to have clues we're going to give away on the air. We're going to have clues we're going to give away on our social media platforms. It's going to be a good time. You know what else is going to be a good time? Time Out Sports Bar with Trey and Bob. What's this, gentlemen? You guys are going to be broadcasting live from the Timeout Sports Bar on 4024. That's 4024 West Skipback Pike and Skipback PA tomorrow night from 6 to 7.
That's right.
That's right. Hopefully we'll have our mics on then.
Just a little helpful hint, have them on.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a good time. Beautiful Skipback.
It's beers with Bob and Trey.
Oh, there you go.
Well, that's what I'm labeling it.
Beers from 6 to 7? Or you're going to be there a little longer than that, aren't you?
Well, before and after.
I've never seen you leave a bar after less than 2 hours, my friend. That's just quite frankly impressive. Yeah. Who won our Temple tickets there, Sam?
Christopher Martin.
Congratulations, Christopher Martin.
Yeah, he's excited.
Very good. Going to see Temple take on Missouri 7:30 Saturday night at the Lea Corps Center.
I think we got to do a little show outing to the Lea Corps Center sometime soon.
Oh, I'm in.
I've never been there.
Oh, we have to crack that.
It's a good venue, man.
It's
pretty great.
Yeah, we're going to go see
it.
Aaron, yeah.
Yeah.
Support the squad.
Yeah, you know, come on. Support my squad.
I work in Philadelphia media, so I feel like I'm an honorary Temple alum.
I will say this. They provide good pizza pregame for the media people. I used to do the Temple games over there, man, and go down and get myself a slice or two.
Huh?
That's very good.
I always like pizza. I swear to God.
Well, Mike liked the pizza?
Whenever we would have
free
an assignment,
food,
like, you know, I'm going out to cover Villanova. Oh, yeah, what's that? Oh, yeah, well, they're going to get, they'll get you roast beef sandwiches. Like, I don't care, Mike. Tell me something about, like, UConn, whoever they're playing.
Will they have plain pepperoni? I don't know.
If you want to bring back a piece to the office, you know, I can use it.
Mike's getting ready
doing
for
anything with it.
We got to have Mike on to promote his, he does the, I think, the toys every year.
Yeah, he and Eddie Barkowitz do a Toys for Tots where they bartend. I don't know if they change venues this year, so I don't want to say one out of turn. But yeah, they do a great thing, and a bunch of us who used to work in the Daily News and a bunch of people from the city go on down. Yeah, some athletes might stop by and stuff like that. So once I get more information on, maybe we can talk.
But maybe we'll have Mike on himself.
Oh, we can do that.
Maybe Mike and Eddie on himself.
Oh, there you go.
I'm just brainstorming. Sam, what was the final on our Twitter poll?
Today we asked, when it comes to Zach Wheeler, how do you feel? Excited, happy, or meh? And we had just under 2,400 votes today. Remained the same throughout the day. 45% said happy.
Do I know our audience? Do I know our audience or what? We're happy people. All right, I knew they weren't going to be excited. I knew they weren't going to be meh. I knew they were just going to be happy because there's a lot of work to be done, Sam. Thank you very much.
There you go. And that's brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit WindowNation.com.
And finally, let's get into our takeaways of the day. Sam, what is your takeaway today?
Go Sixers.
Cool. Yeah.
You caught me off guard today. I didn't have anything.
We don't usually do this.
No, it's a new thing. We just started. Don't have anything, please. Jimmy Litch.
My takeaway of the day is that of all the boobs, the side boob is the one to rule them all.
This is official ruling.
That's awesome.
I think I can stamp my name to that. As official.
Stamp your name to it.
There was one dude to rule them all. It was the size.
And Jamie,
dude.
Who started that trend?
Miley Cyrus, as I learned from Sam.
Yes, fun fact.
At least with the tattoos on the side.
Sam, I thought your takeaway was going to be another rendition of Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus.
Oh, I should have done that.
But Jamie, that's pretty good. That's pretty good on them. Side boob of all the boobs.
I feel like it's the best work I've ever done.
I feel like it's the 2017 Eagles of boob. It's the greatest underdog there is. You got me, Bob. What's your takeaway?
That's all I got to say.
The Springsteen song Wrecking Ball, this is my takeaway today, is much better than the Miley Cyrus Wrecking Ball song.
Wow.
There you go.
You're probably going to say Santa's Coming to Town is the best ever, too, aren't you?
Don't ever speak for me.
So, that's awesome.
I would agree with that statement. I don't think this is a hot take.
No, it's just my takeaway today.
Okay.
I'm an angry guy. Huh?
Super aggressive.
Right? Right, Bob?
That's awesome.
Miley Cyrus has a good rocking around the Christmas tree.
Awesome.
Okay.
What do you got, Mark?
My takeaway of the day is this. That the Philadelphia sports fans are going to remain unimpressed until they are very impressed. All right?
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Yeah.
Zach Wheeler is a good acquisition. It's a great step in the right direction. But they know their sport of baseball, and they know that this team has a big mountain to climb. I'm proud of you, Philadelphia. Didn't get swept up in it yesterday with either a disappointment of not getting Cole Hamels or a disappointment of only getting Zach Wheeler. Plenty of road to hoe, as much as some people might say. We'll be back with you tomorrow with some great giveaways, including the Sixers Rothman tickets, court level, for tomorrow. Tickets we'll be giving away tomorrow for Sunday's game. Time of the Fanatic. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano Show. Time of the Fanatic is 9:52.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.